Welcome to The Voice of Business, the official podcast of the Chamber of Commerce Hawaii. I'm your host, Jo McGarry. This is brought to you by Altruis. Our guest today is Nicole Lim. As the Executive Director of Movers and Shakas, Nicole's homecoming mirrors the path of many participants. Born and raised in Hawaii, she moved to the continent for 20 years to attend college and build a career. She also worked remotely and traveled the world as an analog nomad in the 5 years before the pandemic. Nicole is excited to return home to apply her experiences to build a more resilient Hawaii, spend more time with family and friends, and be near the beach and malasadas. Lim was a strategy consultant with more than 15 years of international experience in finance and technology, and she previously worked as a senior manager in corporate strategy and global expansion for eBay in San Jose, California, and as a management consultant for LEK Consulting in Los Angeles and Sydney. A graduate of Iolani School, she holds a bachelor's degree from Yale University and a Master of Business Administration from the Wharton School, University of Pennsylvania. Nicole, welcome to the Chamber of Commerce podcast.
Thanks for having me, Jo.
It's such a pleasure. It's so nice to have you here and to have the opportunity to talk about Movers and Shakas, because regular listeners will know that in right pandemic time, when it was all starting, we did chat about Movers and Shakas as it was really starting. So it's going to be great to find out how far you've come already. Before we go there, though, the one phrase that really has my attention immediately is that you were an analog nomad roaming the globe before the pandemic. Tell us a wee bit about that, because it will give us insight into you.
Yeah, I'd like to think I was kind of an early adopter of remote working, but this was before remote work, so I actually wasn't working and just traveling. It took 5 years before the pandemic to just kind of explore the world. I came home in March 2020, being volunteered by my mother. And I don't know, when your mom volunteers you to do something, you hurry back. I had been teaching yoga at a whitewater rafting camp in Patagonia at the time. And when I got back on the grid, it was time to come home. And I came home and I, you know, had been gone, not living here for 20 years. And found out about Movers and Shakas in December of 2020 from a mainland acquaintance, and was quite livid to find out that there was a program trying to bring remote workers in during the pandemic. And I could just see, you know, people coming in, dripping with COVID, coming to, you know, drive my rent up, destroy the aloha spirit, and maybe harass some dolphins. I felt so strongly about it. I wrote an op-ed in the Star Advertiser against the program. And in an ironic twist of fate, I was invited to run the program.
That really is an exceptional moment, I'm sure. So when the first person, who I assume was Jason, reached out to you, were you surprised? Were you expecting to get backlash from your article? I mean, what did you feel when he first called you?
Well, I wasn't sure he had read the article. you know, the first paragraph was pretty much verbatim what I thought about remote workers coming here. And the article does go on to talk about my own experiences traveling and how I felt quite hypocritical, because I had been an outsider in other people's communities, and that us versus them kind of tribal mentality is so innate and so powerful. And we have to acknowledge that it's there. And then we have to move beyond thinking about zero-sum games and asking ourselves, you know, how do we bring newcomers in? How do we learn and grow from each other and ultimately hold everyone, including ourselves, accountable to the community? When Jason approached me and I realized that this program was created by actually well-respected local business and community leaders to help Hawaii during a difficult time, I was quite inspired. And I thought, what a dream job to be able to take all my, you know, diverse experiences in education and work and just nomadicism, roaming the world and exploring new communities to be able to make an impact on my hometown. And it was a dream job then. And over 2 years later, it's a dream job now too, as it's evolved.
What's interesting is it's a dream job for you, but not one you could have even imagined or created while you were. And I can only imagine that as a graduate of Iolani and then a graduate of Yale with your master's in business from the Wharton School, the fact that you just took off and were roaming the world for 5 years, you know, must have been like, there must have been some family sort of, you know, input there on maybe what have you been doing. But the fact is that what you were doing was preparing you for what you do now. At any point, did you think that? Did you think, I am traveling the world because I am going to find what I'm supposed to do next?
Not at all. And I really believe in serendipity, especially now. And I think what that 5 years helped me to realize was what really drives me. And that's building community, you know, creating safe spaces, doing kind of the minimal social engineering that needs to happen to create organic communities that kind of blossom and evolve on their own. And really thinking about how do you bring newcomers into an existing community. So, you know, I'm quite active. I don't know if you've heard of Burning Man, but I run a camp there, and also thinking about how new burners get kind of oriented to, you know, a specific camp, but also the Burning Man community as a whole. I'm quite active in the LGBT community as well. I do coaching, kind of leadership, life coaching. And I think the theme in all of these is how do you create a safe space and serve as a catalyst to really accelerate where people are already going to get to.
When you were traveling during the times where you were moving from, you know, place to place and presumably doing different work as you went there, are there standout experiences that you remember that kind of started to form even more strongly your opinions about the fact that we are all really innately sort of territorial about where we live and who we are, even though we may be welcoming, you know, on the face of it? Can you remember any examples that you drew upon when you came back?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say a theme for me was trying to figure out what the common thread was when I went to new places and how could I adapt my way of communicating and interacting with people that was appropriate and respectful of the place I was, whether it was, you know, Mexico or Spain or Asia or Africa or Australia or Europe, without losing the authenticity of who I am. So what type of translation, whether it's literally a new language or, you know, mannerisms or, you know, approaches to people, did I have to consider to actually be able to build authentic relationships? And I really believe that you can build genuine, authentic relationships without losing the integrity of who you are. And an example maybe in Hawaii would be like, you know, you don't have to come here and immediately start speaking pidgin to feel like, you know, you're part of a community. And it might be taken as disingenuous, even if, you know, your intentions are good. So what we try to do is kind of help people accelerate that understanding, because we really believe that people are, you know, really good people who have a lot to contribute, their own unique skills and expertise and experiences to make Hawaii a better place. And our role is to help them do that more quickly and to really fall in love with Hawaii, as I have, as probably you have as well, being here for so long. And when that happens, you naturally want to make it a better place. You naturally have a sense of shared stewardship or kuleana to make Hawaii better now and for the future.
I think one of the things that's so interesting about what you do is there's this very fine line between people who really want to embrace a culture because they see something beautiful in it and them being completely disingenuous because they don't know what they don't know. Exactly. And I think that's the really interesting sort of crossroads of how do you let people, and obviously this is what Movers and Shockers is all about, but that's the point at which I think the education starts. It shouldn't always just be criticism because someone is trying to adopt the culture, which is offensive to all of us, right? I mean, for me, when I first came to Hawaii, everybody would say to me, oh, I'm Scottish. And I would be like, you are? And I'd be so excited. And then they would do something and I'd think, you have no idea. You've never even been to my country. And they hadn't for generations, right? But it's born, I think, of people who really do have a genuine, like they love something about the culture. So is that where you start, at the fact that people don't know what they don't know and you're just trying to make it easier for them?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, just to give a little bit more context where the program has evolved, we started as a remote worker program during COVID since tourism had been decimated. We ran two cohorts of remote workers with a focus on trying to bring returning Kama'aina home. And what we realized was that at the end of that, we had built this place-based community orientation program. And as tourism recovered and remote work changed, we thought, who else could we offer this program to that would make an even larger impact on Hawaii? And one of the kind of dynamics that had been highlighted when I first started was when kind of leaders are brought into Hawaii, a lot of them leave in 12 to 18 months because they just don't get it, to summarize. And sometimes it's kind of a bull in a china shop while they're here. And so, you know, could we help people who probably have the best, I won't even say probably, do have the best intentions to make Hawaii a home, to make an impact, a positive impact? Can we help them do that more quickly and accelerate kind of their time to impact, as well as help keep them here in Hawaii by helping them develop that sense of belonging, that sense of home in Hawaii? And that's how we've evolved. And it's exactly that, right? Like, people don't know what they don't know. And as you know, in Hawaii, it's small. We're very close for cultural reasons, for geographical island reasons. And there's not a lot of runway to make bad first impressions. So we want to help people, you know, get integrated into the community as quickly as possible.
And so you really have two things going on, don't you? Because you're bringing people to your programs to educate them and to help them learn more. And then you're helping businesses hopefully keep their employees for a longer time, stronger ties to Hawaii with a deeper understanding, which is always good for business, right? Tell us a little how that works, your relationship with local businesses.
Yeah, so local businesses are actually our key customer. So we work with businesses in different industries: business, finance, education, healthcare, the military, energy, nonprofits, anyone who brings talent in. And we want to help basically acculturate their employees, their leaders, help them be more effective more quickly. And we think of it on the onboarding side, on retention and development, but also across that whole employee life cycle. So even as you're bringing people into Hawaii, recruiting, you know, really indicating and signaling to potential candidates that you care about their whole lives, right? Not just like you're going to come here and do a job, but we want you to feel at home here in Hawaii, and we're going to invest in that future and that life for you through Hawaii Talent Onboarding Program, HITOP, our program that we run. And then certainly for offboarding too, you know, we would definitely want talent to kind of stay with our customers. But, you know, the reality is people move a lot, and that's actually not a bad thing for the overall economy. And so when we think about our three stakeholders, it's the newcomers themselves, the employers, and then the state. So, you know, we have, you know, big brain drain talent challenges. I know every local employer, if they could hire locally, mm-hmm. they would. Sometimes they have to hire from outside the islands. And so if we're able to, you know, bring that talent in and those fresh perspectives, innovation, keep them here, even if they're moving organizations, that's just good for the economy, for teaching our students, for treating our ohana in healthcare, for protecting the security of our islands and our country, you know, with the military. So we think about our three stakeholders, you know, our participants, our employers, the state, and then ultimately, yeah, the general public, right? We, I think, have, in my kind of experience, have had increasing friction, I think, between you know, people who live here, locals, and newcomers. And we want to be a part of having better community members better interactions and less perceived boundaries based on where you grew up or where you spent time, and more about sharing stewardship for Hawaii, sharing values of, you know, really helping our islands together.
Do you have, Nicole, different, or are you developing different programs for different companies? For example, employees who go and work for, say, Alexander & Baldwin, or perhaps have different needs or understanding needs for someone who's going to go and work high level at HECO? Or do you just have programs where everyone's really learning the same and acclimating to Hawaii?
Yeah, HITOP is intentionally cross-industry, actually, because we want leaders from different sectors to meet and learn about other industries so that, you know, we can work more cohesively on big challenges for Hawaii. That being said, you know, we do often have breakout groups. Our program is structured around culture education, community service, and networking. So learn, contribute, and connect. And so, especially with community service, we like to highlight big challenges in Hawaii, like food insecurity and houselessness. And we'll often break out into different groups based on industry so that participants can think about what they can do as individuals, but also as leaders of their organizations and industries. So how does houselessness impact healthcare? How does that impact business or education or the military? And so, you know, there is kind of industry specific discussions, but the overall experience is cross industry.
It just sounds like it's developing and growing and becoming something that's just so much fun to be part of. I mean, I think it must be incredibly rewarding as well for you and your position, especially given, you know, where you started from. Like, have you written an op-ed recently, by the way, about it?
I haven't.
Is there one in the works?
There could be. Yeah.
But it does sound as if for a very young organization, it sounds as though you're just moving forward with such strength in such a positive way. It must be great to be part of it.
It is amazing. Like I've said, it's a dream job. And I have to acknowledge that a big part of that is the board. I'm hugely inspired by what they do in their day jobs, leading top organizations, but also how much care that they have for the community. And personally, just supporting me, you know, providing both emotional support and networks and anything that they can to help make this successful. So it's a small team. It's a team of one and my program manager. So I guess a team of two. But the board really is hugely active and super grateful for that. And I think it's a microcosm for how Hawaii functions most successfully when we all work together.
And for people listening who, you know, are bringing new employees in, how best can they work with you? What are the first steps they need to take to contact Movers and Shakas?
Yeah, definitely check out our website at www.moversandshakas.org. And it's easy to reach me through that. And happy to talk to different organizations about what their needs are. And I think it's pretty universal, though, that you know, leaders are going to do their jobs more effectively when they feel a sense of belonging. And what we have found is that 90% of our cohort have increased sense of belonging in Hawaii, as well as 90% feel that they've increased in workplace effectiveness. And it's not a coincidence to me, because if you feel like you belong, you're going to feel much more effective in your jobs and being able to lead your teams better and treat your customers, patients, students, whatever it is, much more effectively.
It's really just a very simple thing, isn't it, when it comes down to it? I mean, people all want to feel as though they belong. And yeah, what you're doing is allowing them to belong in the highest possible sense.
Exactly.
Which is, if you think about it, if we did that across all areas of life, like from high school, you know, where, I mean, really the lack of understanding of people and really is there when you look at it is so difficult and so challenging. If you had programs like yours in every walk of life, it would really make a huge difference.
I 100% agree. And, you know, companies, they all have company orientation programs but very few have place-based community orientation. And we just want people to come here, you know, be their authentic selves and really get a chance to build genuine relationships here. Because as we all know, you know, Hawaii is driven by relationships. And we want to give everyone a chance to be a part of the community.
Nicole Lim is the executive director of Movers and Shakas. If you really want to continue to build the culture in your company, then go to their website, Movers and Shakas, and contact her. Thank you so much for coming in. That was just so interesting to talk to you.
Thanks so much, Jill. Really appreciate it.
You've been listening to The Voice of Business, the official podcast of the Chamber of Commerce Hawaii, brought to you by Altrus. Join us next time for more stories of Hawaii's business.